Well, good morning. It's always a joy to be here. I was thinking, that's pretty hard for me thinking, but I was thinking this week that, it's been almost 20 years since I retired as your pastor. Almost. And God hadn't let me stop yet. And I'm proud he hasn't. If you have your Bible today, why don't you turn to the back of the book? Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look at the first six verses. I'll be using the Holman translation this morning. John recorded these words for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is among humanity. And he will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer because the previous things have passed away. Then one seated on the throne said, Look, I'm making everything new. He also said, Write. Because these words are faithful and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water as a gift to the thirst from the spring of life. I ask God to add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for allowing us to gather in this number. I understand that there are members of the church family who are recovering from illnesses. We ask your very special blessing in their lives. We're also told, Father, that members of this body of believers are traveling on vacation and for other reasons. I pray, Father, for a hedge of protection about them. Get them to and from where they're going and get them back safely. We thank you, God, that we have the assurances that we have. And I pray, God, that you'll empower me to deliver the message that you want delivered this day. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. John spoke about a future reality. And I was amazed at the way he handled it. He said, I saw. He used the past tense, saw, to describe a future event. And when the future is viewed with such certainty and vividness, it eliminates the shadows of the present. We live in a very uncertain time. A lot of things have changed in society. And the time that we live in is so uncertain. There's always rumors about wars. North Korea said now that they have a missile that's capable of reaching Washington, D.C. I have my doubts about that. I hope that that's just sword rattling, but we live in a very uncertain time. I see you have many young people and children coming in and out, so I know that God's blessed you with a growing process. But what is their future to be? What will it be? The one who reveals it must be God, for only God can know what will surely take place thousands of years in the future. You know, those who oppressed Christ believed that when they took his life, that that would be the end of Christianity, that it would cease to continue. But we know and understand today, because we're gathered here in this place, that Jesus is still working in our society and still working in all of our lives. This book that I'm reading from, this passage of our Holy Bible, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It emanated from Jesus, and God the Father gave him some things to show us for the days that we live in. This word was written countless ages ago, over 2,000 years ago now. And yet it still is relevant to today. Jesus is still doing what Jesus began to do when he began his ministry on earth. He's still changing lives and changing hearts. I hope that you're prepared for the inevitable. I'm told that we're making a journey from the cradle, and that journey is toward the grave, and all of us are headed that way. The Bible tells us it's appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. And so, are we ready to be judged? Are we ready to stand judged? God wants us to be in that condition. In the Word, God has inspired us to know what He wants for us. He wants us to know that what's taking place has already been predetermined. He knows about everything that happens. I read someplace that nothing happens in the entirety of the universe but what it came across God's desk first. Isn't that amazing? That regardless of what happens, it's come across God's desk first. The Holy Spirit participated in this revelation, and God has given us the Holy Spirit as our comforter, as our guide. The Sunday school lesson this morning was about missions, and we need to be on mission for Jesus more than we've ever needed to be on mission for Jesus before in all of our lives. We've forgotten how to tell folks how much we love Jesus and how much He loves us. And we need to be able to do that day by day. God the Father gave the revelation. God the Son transmitted it. And God the Holy Spirit empowers it in our lives if we will allow Him to do it. God won't do anything in your life or my life unless we allow Him to do it. Positively won't. He will not force Himself into your life to become your Savior. You have to invite Him in. And I'm thankful for all of those who did. There's some here that I was present when you were saved. Now, I didn't have anything to do with you getting saved, but I was there when Jesus made that move in your life. It was an exciting time for me and you then, and it's still an exciting time for me today to see that you're hanging in there, to see that God's still able to use our lives regardless. The Bible says here that the present heaven and earth will change. It will be totally new. None like it, never having existed before or having another of the same kind. In October of last year, our sister-in-law's home in Stanford caught on fire. And over the months until just this past week, they've been renovating it. Now, I haven't seen it, but I talked to a family member who said they went into the house and it looked like an entirely new house. They've taken out all the carpet and they put hardwood down. They've redone the walls, painted everything. And it's just like a new home, but it's still the same old house. It's just been renovated. That's not what the new heaven's going to be like, nor the new earth. It's not going to be a renovation, but the Bible says that it's going to be a totally new one. Heaven means the dwelling place of those who have already died in Christ. You know, I look forward to the day when I get to go home, be with Jesus, and meet Him face to face. I've trusted Him by faith. You've trusted Him by faith. But there's going to be a day and an hour when we will have the opportunity to meet Him face to face. I look forward to that. But I look forward also to seeing those who have gone on before me. And there's a lot of speculation about whether we will know them, recognize them. Well, if we didn't, it wouldn't be a real joyous place to go to, would it? We have to think about that. I believe God will allow us to recognize them, maybe not in the same form that we recognize them today, but I'm convinced that God's already prepared a place for all of us. There are others who are have gone there, and we're going to get to go there. They are said to be where Christ is. You know, I look forward to that. I hope you look forward to that, being where Christ is, or doing what Christ wants us to do with our life instead of doing what we want to do with it. Jesus, on his ascension, went to heaven. He said something like, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. General Douglas MacArthur, during the Second World War, which, by the way, I hope you got to see some of the D-Day memories. But Douglas MacArthur was forced to leave the Philippines. He left people behind that he really didn't want to leave behind, but he said, I will return. And you know, he did get to go back. Jesus said, I will return, and he will come again. And the Bible said he will receive unto himself those that belong to him. We need to be prepared, and we need to be sure that we're prepared, that we are more than just church members, but we are a member of the Church of Christ International. Now, I'm not saying international in that you believe anything that you want to. Society today is trying to tell us that you don't have to adhere to the Word. You can just believe anything that you want to believe. You can be a good person and you will get to heaven. My Bible does not say anything like that. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be disappointed and surprised when the time comes that they're called to be at home. And we never know when that time's going to be. We never expect it. Within the last, 2 weeks? Two weeks ago, a young couple from very close to many of us got on their motorcycle and went on a ride that they normally would have gone on, planned to be home, didn't get to come home. Listen, we better be prepared the very minute we step out the door. We ought to be prepared the minute we lay down at night and the minute we get up in the morning, because there is a new heaven and there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth, but there is a heaven now for us to go to, and God has a plan in all of that. A qualitative new heaven will be necessary for the departed spirits of believers when they receive their resurrection bodies. We're going to get a new body. I'm kind of looking forward to that. Now, since I left you all 20 years ago or nearly, I got a lot of new parts. I can't even go in the courthouse without setting off the metal alarm. I got all these new parts. But I'm looking forward to a new body without any new parts. And we're going to get that. And because there's going to be that great influx, listen here, we talk about baby boomers and age and Social Security and things not going to last, it's not going to be big enough. Got to have a new heaven for all that's going to be coming there if we do our job. We've got a job to do, and God wants us to do our job to prepare others to be there. Jesus Christ will come back to earth with his departed saints resurrected, and living saints will be transformed. He said, those which are alive and remain. He's going to come back before everybody dies. Those which are alive and remain, those which are his, he's going to take with him. I always think about story about the old preacher who was preaching. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, and raise your hand. And about everybody did, except for a young man sitting just about where this young man's sitting. He said, again, everybody wants to go to heaven. Raise your hand, everybody, but this one young man sitting on the front pew looking at the preacher. Didn't raise his hand. Preacher took his glasses off and he said, son, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yes, I do. But I thought she's getting up busload for the day, and I thought I'd wait till tomorrow. He's going to come back and receive us. I know that if I die, I'm going to go and be with him. But what a joy it would be to be here in Harrodsburg, be a mess. Because people were seeing somebody they'd never seen before who came to town, and as he walked through town, everybody stepped out from where they were and began to walk with him. Because every believer, we walk with him spiritually today. And every believer in that time will step out and follow him. He said, I have come to receive those that belong to me. Normally I don't speak too often from Revelation. It's a wonderful book. It's an informative book, but a lot of people get confused by it. But I felt so inspired by it. Brother Harry called me a few weeks ago and told me a Sunday that I could come. And then he turned around and called back and said, no, we don't want you. And put me off. But that's all right, Harry. He gave me some time to pray about it. There'll be a new heaven for believers. There will also be a new dwelling place for unbelievers who will also be resurrected and changed. Now, you have not thought about that. As the believer is going to be resurrected and changed, so also the unbeliever is going to be resurrected and changed. As death will be abolished for the believers and they will not die anymore physically, so also unbelievers will not die anymore, but they will suffer the rigors of death throughout eternity. I want to drop down and get another verse of Scripture here. Verse 8, and there the Bible says, but cowards and unbelievers, vile, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. God has prepared a place for those who are going to leave this world without him. He's prepared a resurrection body for them that will suffer throughout eternity. Some years ago, I was talking to a fellow about hell, and he said, well, I really don't believe in hell. He was a smoker, and I said, can I borrow your lighter? Well, he said, certainly. And I got his lighter. I flicked his Bic. I said, put your finger in that. He said, man, are you crazy? That'll burn me. I said, and yet you're leaving yourself open to go to where you'll suffer being burned day after day after day after hour. No relief. You're setting yourself up for that because you say, I don't believe. The believer will receive a new body which will live on a different earth and in a different forever. Have you thought about eternity? I think all of us have. How long is eternity? You might, not right now, you might Google it sometime. You know, there's no real good explanation. Among the brightest, most brilliant people in the entirety of our universe, there is no really great explanation for eternity. It's just a long, 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 long time. Pat and I celebrated an anniversary a few days back. I've been married longer than I've been anything else. We celebrated 64 years together. That's a long time. And she's put up with a lot. Someone asked me what the secret, guys, I'll give you the secret to 64 years of marriage. And it's not love you. It's yes, ma'am. I take that back. I've been blessed by, God blessed me with a wonderful wife. And she has endured a whole lot. But I'm so thankful for her today. Believers receive a new body. And you know, all the frailties that we have now, no more slings, John. Yeah. All those frailties are going to be gone, and we're going to go to a new place. You remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? He said, today you will be with me where? In paradise. Okay. Now there's a need for a new heaven. Unbelievers will receive their resurrection body, and they will live in a place that is fit for their newly constituted bodies. I want to look back just a second to Luke chapter 16 and let you fan the pages on your Bible just a little bit. Luke chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. We know the story. The story is about the rich man and Lazarus. And the Bible says in verse 22, one day the poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, being in torments in Hades. I'm not going to go any further than that because the Bible is very explicit in that. There is a place being prepared for the resurrection body of the unbeliever. This passage speaks of Hades, which is the place of departed spirits of unbelievers. Even as paradise is a place looked forward to for believers. I came across the book. Don't have it anymore. I've loaned it out till it just never did come back home. I guess somebody just threw it away. I don't blame them. It was called something like 23 Hours in Hell. Or maybe it was 23 Minutes in Hell. But it talked about, this guy gave such a description of hell. Said he'd been there and came back. Well, I know that's a lie from the devil because we don't get to come back once we go. There's no coming back. But he talked about how bad it was. I had a friend that we exercised with. He was a black gentleman. And he said, I want to read that book you got, preacher. And I said, okay, I'll bring it to you. And I took it to him and he brought it back the next day. And I said, well, did you read it all? He said, no, I read about a chapter, and I don't want to read no more of that. That's terrible. The fellow talked about the heat and the screams and the demons that were tearing at bodies. And people are setting themselves up to go there. And we have a responsibility to them that we're not filling. That will be changed to Gehenna, a permanent abode of the resurrected unbelievers. in a permanent place of disappointment. Everything will be failure. Everywhere I go, I carry a bottle of water. Not because I'm thirsty, but because one of my medications dries me out. And so I got to have a little drink every now and then. It is water, by the way. And I have to have just a little taste every now and then to keep from getting to where I can't speak. And I keep it with me all the time. They won't be able to have even a drop of water. The rich man said, send somebody that they can just put their finger in a little water, touch my tongue with it. And there's going to be no relief there. And we need to be prepared for going there. And we need to help our friends, our neighbors, and even strangers be sure that they're going to get there. I don't know about you, but I have lost family members. You know, I'm kind of, somebody said, well, preacher, don't you ever talk to them? I talk to them all the time. But I have family members who, unless they change their attitude, unless they allow Jesus to change their heart, they're going to spend eternity in eternal torments. And I struggle with that. I worry about that. And you and I walk hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder with, we see people and encounter people everywhere we go who are going to go there because they won't trust. For believers, let's get off of the how bad it's going to be for the unbelievers, but for believers, there will be eternal bliss in the new heaven and the new earth. The first heaven and the first earth are gone now. I don't know whether it was a cataclysmic explosion that took the earth out. We don't know how it's going to go. We do know one thing. Been a lot of rain, a lot of flooding. But it's not ever going to go by a flood again because the Lord said He wouldn't do it that way again. We can be assured of that. It may rain for 40 days and 40 nights, but it will not be, man will not be gone because of flooding. It's going to be something else, and it may be something cataclysmic. We don't know. They will have passed away. And so our present corruptibility and mortality will be gone. You know, the devil is looking for every opportunity that he can to hinder your life and mine, to get a toehold in there so that our witness be corrupted. We're still mortal beings. We're going to die. I don't know how. I don't know what it's like. I'm not afraid of dying because I know where I'm going. What I'm afraid of is the process. What will it be like? Will I wake up with an elephant stomping on my chest? Or will somebody run over me? Well, there's just a lot of uncertainties there, but I know that it's coming. I expect it to arrive. But all of those things are going to pass away. We'll no longer have to deal with those. We'll no longer have to worry about that. The Bible says the sea will be no more. You know, the sea is an element of dread. I remember during my tenure in the Navy being out in the middle of the ocean. Somebody said, just remember, you're never over a mile from land, but it's straight down. And there's a lot of things to fear about the sea. And the Bible says there'd be no more sea. Sea is element of fear and dread. Such will not characterize the new life with Christ. Though our present lives are experiencing the billows of the earthly sojourn, we're not ever going to have to experience that again. Things pop up that we don't think about. I tell you what, cancer is a dirty word when it's at your house. Man, it's devastating when it comes to my house. You think about that. You put yourself in that place. It's all right. It's bad when it comes to somebody else's house. Stroke's bad when it comes to somebody else's house. Heart attack's bad when it comes to somebody else's house. An accident's bad when it comes to somebody else's. But it's devastating when it comes to my house. And that's what we need to think about in it being prepared for going there. God's tabernacle with us on earth and in heaven will become more apparent than it is now. Looking back at the scripture that I shared this morning there in verse 21, chapter 21 and verse 3. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. God's dwelling is with humanity and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. Man, the Bible said I'm going to get to see him again. The Bible said that he's going to be here for us. And there will be no more tears. I had someone here a while back tell me that the Bible said that there would be tears in heaven. But it doesn't. The Bible said there will be no more tears in heaven. Because there will be no more sorrow when we get to heaven. Tears are a part of sorrow. There won't be any more of those. Tears are a part of our inescapable human makeup right now. There's nothing wrong with it. I heard an old preacher. I'm the old preacher now, but I heard an old preacher when I was younger say he didn't trust a man who didn't cry. He said, I just don't believe that a man who doesn't cry really knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Because there's so much there to cry about. Death will not be experienced anymore as it is now. Death. You're not going to die again. And if we're fortunate enough to be here when Jesus comes, you're not even going to have to experience death. Now there are several people in the Bible who did not have to experience death. You know who they are. I'm not going to tell you who they are. You get your Bible and get to looking. See who escaped death. Give you something to do with yourself this afternoon after you get your nap over. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. The sea no longer existed. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. We don't go to many weddings where the bride's not pretty well dressed, do we? You know? The bride goes to great lengths to look really great for that special day. We need to go to great lengths to be truly prepared for that special day. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, if any woman, any boy or girl hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us together. Thank you for your word, and I pray for that person who's here. I know that he or she is here. You have told me that and inspired me, and I pray for that person or those persons who are not prepared for this eternal advent. I pray, God, that you will challenge them this morning to turn loose and to give over to you absolute control in their life. I pray, Father, for that person today who is facing a new illness with the uncertainty of what it may bring. I pray, God, that they will allow you to have absolute sway in that time in their life, that they would commit it to you today. You're able to take care of all these things. We're not. So I pray, Father, that during this invitation time, in any way that you have spoken to a heart, that the heart that you've spoken to will inspire the body to move. I pray and ask this in Christ's name. Amen.